Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people that you love. I'm Sam Payne, your host, and today we have a story and a song about opening our hearts to the people and to the world around us. You know, stories and music are great at helping us do that, opening our understanding, our sense of connection. And Ohio storyteller Kim Whitecamp will start us out with some personal experiences she's had on the road. Here's Kim with a piece that she calls People I Meet, recorded live in the Appleseed Studio.
Ever since I was a little girl, I loved hanging out with older people. Even when there were things outside that I really wanted to do and my friends were out there or whatever, if there was somebody in the house that tended to be older, I call them elders, you know, somebody from the elder community that's just, you know, a little more aged, I wanted to sit with them. I learned phenomenal things from those people. And even now at this age, I love to do that. I travel a lot and I eat alone a lot. And so when I'm eating somewhere, if I see somebody of a particular age eating alone, I will walk over and ask if I can sit with them. Normally, I get a look and they check me out and they go, okay. And that's how it begins. And I ask them their story. Everybody wants to be heard. It's one of the things that humans need most is to be heard. And to sit and pick up the golden coins from these people is so inspiring to me and an honor of sorts. I remember one time I was in Seattle. I was at Pike's Market, and there's a little French bakery there that has an open-air window that they prop open. And so I got a nice drink, and I got a lovely chocolate-filled croissant. I mean, is there anything better? And I saw a man when I walked in, he had on a little beret and he was older gentleman sitting at that window and there was a seat right beside him. So I went and settled down. I took a bite, I took a sip, and then I said, so are you from around here? And he said, I am. And he said, you're not. And I said, how do you know that? And he said, because you're talking to me. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, normally if people from around here, they just don't talk to anybody unless they know them. And I said, no, I'm not from here. And I said, I'm actually in town. I'm working at the Folklife Festival here, the Northwest Folklife Festival. And he said, what do you do? And I said, I'm a storyteller. And he said, really? And he said, can you make a living at that? And I said, yeah, I can. I said, I'm still trying to convince my mother, but yes, I can. So we had a fun talk about that. And I told him a little. He asked me some questions. He was polite. And then I said to him, what do you do? And I said, what's your story? What did you used to do? And he said, well, I actually used to be a jazz pianist. He said, I traveled the whole world. And he started dropping names. And I like jazz. I have some jazz in my iTunes. But I wouldn't say I am proficient in jazz, but I knew these names. And I just sat there and was like, wow. And I said, well, what do you do now? And his whole face lit up. And he said, well, he said, right now at home, I have 5 crock pots plugged in with soup that I've made, and I'm keeping it hot. And I'm going to go back home in a little bit. I'm going to put that into containers right around 4 or 5 o'clock. And then I have some bread that I'm going to put with it, and I brown bag it, and I drive around to certain parts of town where I know musicians work on the street, and I give them dinner. He said, that's what I like to do. I said, wow. I said, does your wife help you? He said, I'm not married. He said, you can't be married when you're on the road your whole life. And I said, I said, well, it's really good to meet you. I said, can I give you a hug? And he said, I guess so. So we stood up and hugged, and I left. These are invaluable moments. We are losing the communication that is eye to eye. My friends who are teachers are saying that children are having trouble forming words and putting their thoughts into verbal communication because we're losing it. The generations coming up are being called the loneliest generation because the loneliest, because they're not communicating eye to eye on a regular, healthy basis. And when they put their phone down, they are finding that it is affecting the loneliness that they feel when they are away from their phone, as well as the anxiety that they're missing something, is so profound that it's affecting their immune system as if they are a 2-pack-a-day smoker. It is so easy to get somebody to tell you their story. People are dying to be heard. They are dying to be heard. I was in North Carolina, and it was in Cary, and there was a break at the festival I was doing, and so I walked down the road to a little diner, and I ordered a Diet Coke and a cheeseburger because that's the balance of the universe. And as I sat there, a man came in and sat down. He had on a button shirt that was just stressed at the buttons. And underneath was a t-shirt, once white, now gray, from poor laundry care. His hair was very thin and greasy, swiped over across aged spots on his forehead. He ordered a small cup of chili, and it came in one of those real heavy, thick-walled diner cups, you know what I mean? And they put it down and they gave him water. And as he ate it, his hand would shake and tremble as he tried to get the chili into his mouth, little red spots dripping on the front of his shirt. Unremarkable gentleman. A man who would be overlooked. And so I got up and I went over and I sat down, and he looked up at me over his glasses and he said, "Excuse me." And I said, "Well, the seat was empty. And I was wondering if you'd like to chat. Can I bring my food over and join you?" And he said, "Okay." So I went back and I got the remains of my burger and my drink, and I walked over and sat down with him. And I said, "So tell me, you know, are you from around here?" He said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I'm actually working at a storytelling festival down the road." I said, "I'm a professional storyteller." And he said, "You can make a living at that?" And I'm like, "Yes, you can make a living at that." And I said, "So what's your story?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "What's your story? What's your story? What did you used to do?" And he said, "Well," he said, "I'm an astrophysicist." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I taught in college for a long, long time." And he said, "Then the world took a little turn and money got tight at the college where I worked. And so I started to work for the weather service." And I said, "Well, what did you do at the weather service?" He said, "My job was to sit in the plane with my papers and my pens, and the pilot would take the plane up during hurricanes, and we would drive into them. And it was my job to take readings and to make notes." And he said, "Sometimes we could see the bolts of that plane shimmying out of where they belonged." And he said, "When we landed, we partied every time." He said to me that one of his favorite things was the stars. And I said, "Well," I said, "what do you love about them?" He said, I just love to look at them because," he said, "and I'm not a romantic of sorts, but," he said, "there's a woman that I loved once, and I like to think that maybe she's looking at them too." And he said, "That's why I actually used to teach about them." And I said, "Well, so what are you doing now with your life?" I said, "Are you married, widowed?" He said, no. He said, "There's only ever been one woman." And I said, "And you didn't marry her?" And he said, "Well, she didn't want to wait." He said, "I was a pretty wild guy. I needed adventures and thrills. And it got to a point where she just got tired of waiting. And when I was ready to come back down to earth and settle down, she was gone." I said, I said, "So then what do you do with your free time?" And his whole face lit up. And he said, "I have a huge piece of glass." He said, "It is about this thick, 6 feet in diameter." He said, "I had to take out a doorway to try and get that thing into my house." And I said, "I'm lost. What are you doing with a piece of glass that size in your house?" And he said, "I polish it. Every night I polish it." And he said, "I'm going to make a giant telescope and I'm going to put it in my yard." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I like thinking that she can see the stars, and I want to get as close to them as I possibly can." And I said, "Well, for not being a romantic," I said, "that's pretty darn romantic." I said, "I've never had a guy go to those lengths for me just so he can feel some connection." He chuckled. We talked a little bit more, and then I offered to pay for his chili and his water. I am no angel. Trust me, there's no pat on my back. it was like $2.49, okay? And he actually let me, which made me happy. And when I paid, I went back to the table and I said, "Can I give you a hug?" And he said, "Yeah." And he stood up and he barely raised his arms. And as I drew him in and held him and just kind of touched the top of his back, thinking to myself, this is probably the only time in a long time he's been held. He chuckled. I could feel his full belly kind of wiggling, and he smelled like old pillows. And as I let go, I took his hand and I said, "Thank you. Thank you." And I walked out and I stood there. And it was the silliest of thoughts, so cliche, but it is exactly what happened. I stood there and I thought about all the times you've heard that line, "Don't judge a book by its cover." I know, Mom, don't judge a book by its cover. Oh, the people we pass that are filled with golden coins of stories, who are looking to be heard and seen, and it takes just minutes to change the loneliness.
Wasn't it a pleasure to hear Kim talk about some of the people she has met as she travels the country as a storyteller? Her story, especially that part of her story that had to do with a desire to talk to the folks she called elders, has filled me with a memory I'll share. When my oldest son was a little boy, he got very sick for a while, months and months, and he had to be kept home from school for a long time. And during those months, while he was recovering, I often had meetings just down the block at the home of the church music chairperson for our congregation. I was directing the church choir in those days. And she and I would work through music questions of one kind or another. And she and her husband were some of the oldest members of our community, carrying with them some of the oldest living memories of life in our town. And because it was good for my son to get out of the house and stretch his legs a little bit, he'd come down the block with me. And while I talked with the music chairperson, my son would sit and talk with her husband. And he would fill my son with the stories of the place where we lived. Everything from stories of the original settlers of the town to his own experiences, what it was like to buy candy bars for a nickel, stuff like that, good old stories of the good old days. And it was like medicine for my son. Soon he was going over there to drink lemonade and chat on the front porch, whether I had a meeting there or not. And even after he got better, he kept doing it. And it's been years since we lived there, decades. And my son is a grown-up with a family of his own. But he still feels meaningfully, irrevocably connected to that community, to those people. Listening to stories can do that. And that's where Kim's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along?
So if you're hungry for stories, come and feed from the fruit of the tree of the apple seed.
There's a lot coming up, but I want to take just a moment and tell you about another show from the BYU Radio family of podcasts. It's called The Lisa Show. Now, life can be stressful, but Lisa Valentine Clark, the host of The Lisa Show, along with her guests and her unique council of moms, provide a positive and empowering look at all kinds of challenges. They tackle them head on, sharing experiences, offering suggestions on how we can handle relationships and health and technology and body image and family, all kinds of stuff. And Lisa is a great person to hang out with. The Lisa Show, you can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, all kinds of ways to listen to The Lisa Show whenever you like. The Lisa Show from BYU Radio.
It'll have us all climbing that family tree where we share together the apple seed.
It's such a pleasure to have you with us today on The Appleseed. There's more to come right now with Bill Harley, the wonderful storyteller and musician who lives in Massachusetts. And he'll share with us today a song he wrote for the author of the terrific book, The Phantom Tollbooth. Of course, the author is Norton Juster. Bill will tell us all about it. Here's Milo's Tune from Bill Harley.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's just great to be here with you. I'm going to sing a song that I wrote. I wrote the song for a movie, a documentary. I was approached by a young filmmaker, and she was doing a documentary. It was the 50th anniversary of the release of the great children's classic book, The Phantom Tollbooth, written by Norton Juster. And she interviewed me because I do so much work with kids and families. And then we were talking. She said, "Would you write a song for this for the documentary?" And so I wrote this song. And one of the great blessings in my life is that Norton Juster, who wrote this book, loved the song, and his wife Jean loved it too. And I actually ended up. Norton died 2 years ago. I think has been, and his daughter called up and said, I had done appearances with him at the Smithsonian after the documentary was released, and she said he wanted you to sing the song at his memorial service. And so just a little background about the song. If you haven't read the book, if you haven't, you should. It's great. It's really kind of the great, forget Camus and Sartre, it's kind of the great existential novel of the mid-20th century. And it's a quest tale. It's about a kid named Milo who probably is in New York. He lives in an apartment, and he's bored. And he doesn't see the point of learning. He doesn't see the point of doing anything. And he comes home one day, and he's got this little car that he kind of rides around his apartment. But he comes in, and there's this little toll booth there in his house. So he gets in his car, and he drives through the toll booth, and it's the portal to another world. It's not in his apartment anymore. And the world, this country, this land is at war with itself. The country of words is at war with the country of numbers. And the two princesses, Rhyme and Reason, have been captured by a witch and put up in a tower. And Milo travels through this world and meets all these different characters and all these different things. And along the way, he learns what life is about, which is to experience and enjoy and be present in the moment. So it's just this really beautiful book. And Norton was an amazing guy. He was an engineer. He was a civil engineer. But he had this idea for this book, and he was supposed to be writing a book on city planning, and instead he wrote this children's book. And at first someone said, "You'll never get this book published," but he did get the book published, and it's one of the great children's books. There's one scene here I just want to make reference to, which is Milo at a certain point comes to an orchestra sitting there kind of in the dark with their instruments on their laps. And there's a conductor, and the conductor says, "I have to go, I'll be right back," and gives Milo the baton and says, "Don't do anything with this, but I'll be right back." It's like, that's the great story. You can do anything you want, but don't do this, right? And so the conductor leaves, and of course he does. And he raises the baton, and the musicians raise their instruments, and he begins to conduct, and the instruments start to play. But they don't play sounds, they play colors. And I know Norton was actually synesthetic, which means your senses kind of mix up. And so when he sees a number, or hears a number, he thinks a color. The colors have different numbers. And all of us have that kind of synesthesia a little bit. So anyway, he conducts a sunrise. He conducts the colors of the sunrise. And it's a little bit like the Sorcerer's Apprentice. He doesn't really know what to do, so it's a little bit chaotic. But I just always thought that was a beautiful scene. And so that scene is in this, too. So this is called Milo's Tune. All the distance I have traveled, all the miles along the road, every second that is passing shows me something I don't know. There's a music in what happens. There's a reason, there's a rhyme. I just try to pay attention and keep my eyes open wide. How long had I been drifting? How long had I been asleep? How long had I not noticed the world in front of me? There's a music in what happened. There's a reason, there's a rhyme. I just try to pay attention and keep my eyes open wide. I keep my eyes open wide. There are words and there are numbers. They say don't get too confused. It's either one or the other. You have to both. You can't have both. You have to choose. But there's a music in what happens. There's a reason, there's a rhyme. I just try to pay attention. And I keep my eyes open wide, and I keep my heart open wide. I have stood there in the darkness, at the very edge of night. I raise my hands to call the colors. I made a symphony of light. There's music in what happens. There's a reason, there's a rhyme. I just try to pay attention, and I keep my heart open wide. So don't let the doubters tell you where you're headed is too far. The best way to get to where you're going is to be right where you are. 'Cause there's some music in what happens. There's a reason, there's a rhyme. I just try to pay attention. I keep my heart open wide. I keep my heart open wide, open wide. Thank you. Thank you all so much. Thank you.
Bill Harley with the song Milo's Tune. Did you ever talk to a stranger and been surprised by their story? Did a story ever help you see the world in a brand new way? What are the things or who are the people who help you keep your eyes open wide? We want to thank Kim Whitecamp and Bill Harley for sharing with us today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own.
The Appleseed is produced by me, Sam Payne, Wendy Folsom, Brian Tanner, and Kira Van Dam. Our audio engineer is DJ Cromarty, and the rest of the Appleseed team is Tristan Schetzel, Kay Hendricks, and Nico Wetzel. And if you like today's podcast, subscribe, rate us, leave us a review, and tell your friends. That's how the podcast grows. We also love to receive emails. Email us at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, @byu.edu. Your thoughts and comments help us shape the future of the Appleseed. We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family of shows. If you want more great storytelling for the whole family, then search for our companion podcast, Kaboom, where you'll hear original audio adventures for the whole family. You can find any episode of The Appleseed or Kaboom on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, on the BYU Radio app, or at byuradio.org. I'm Sam Payne, and we can't wait to be with you again on The Appleseed. Are you turned off by the news because of how angry and depressing it can be, but still want to engage with important issues? I know that describes me. And I want to introduce you to Top of Mind, another podcast from the BYU Radio family of shows. Each week, the Top of Mind team and award-winning host Julie Rose take one tough, important topic, and they dive deep. The goal is learning to stay open and curious when confronted with perspectives that challenge us. Best of all, every episode will leave you feeling hopeful and empowered to become a better advocate for what matters to you. Top of Mind. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, all kinds of ways to listen to the Top of Mind podcast from BYU Radio.